We have this wonderful first reading today about the great prophet Elijah, who was staying in a woman's house. And this woman's son was really sick, and he eventually dies. The woman, as was the custom of the time, thought that her son's death was punishment for her sins, and she was deathly afraid because she was dependent upon her son to provide for her in her old age. Without a son or a husband, she would be reduced to begging. Elijah, seeing this and knowing this, had compassion for her. He interceded for her, and he brought her son back to life, giving him back to his mother. And then in our gospel, we have two great crowds of people approaching each other. The first is the funeral crowd. They are processing out of the city, wailing and lamenting the death of a young man, and aware of the hard fate that awaited his mother, for she too would be left begging for food and money, since she had no husband or son to provide for her. And the second is a large crowd that is following Jesus and going toward the city. They aren't lamenting or mourning. They are excited, but they're confused. Who is this Jesus? What might he mean for us? Let's follow him a while and see what happens, they are thinking to themselves. They are excited because they have heard Jesus say a lot of things, and they may have even seen a miracle or two performed. So they are following him to see what happens next, but they aren't sure what to make of him. And the two crowds meet one another, and what happens? What does Jesus do? He walks up to the funeral procession. He places his hand on the coffin, and he has compassion for the woman. And he raises the young man up, giving him life, and then gives him back to his mother. What do we learn from these readings today? We learn that both Elijah and Jesus had compassion for women by giving life to their sons. We learn that both of them were moved to pity for widows. We learn that compassion is life-giving, not life-taking. We learn that to be compassionate to others is to renew their lives and give them hope. Yes, Jesus pitied the woman and resurrected a young man. He commanded life and death. Yes, the people rejoiced, but they were divided in their opinions about him. They thought, he did what Elijah did. Has Elijah returned from the dead? Is Jesus a prophet and a miracle worker? Or is he God? And some concluded, as the gospel tells us, a great prophet has arisen in our midst. Others said, God has visited his people. Are not these the same kinds of questions people ask about Jesus today? Are these not the same conclusions that people draw about him even now? Who do you say Jesus is? Who, really? If you look at your heart, if you look at how you live your life, who are you saying he is? What do you think? Is Jesus about dying or is he about living? Is he about condemnation as the widow in the first reading feared? Or is he about compassion? If you say that Jesus is a great prophet and a holy man who taught many good things, and that is all he is, if you say that either with your words or by the way you live your life, well then, his words are mere human words. And if he is just a prophet, then what he said pertained to his people 2,000 years ago, and not necessarily to us. On the other hand, if you say Jesus is God, then his words are eternal, and always can be applied for all times and places in every aspect of our lives, right here, right now. Many in our world today would want to massage the words of Jesus to make them mean what they want them to mean. Many today would really see Jesus as just a great man and a prophet. And so they try to manipulate Jesus' words in order to excuse themselves and their behavior. Many want to take his teachings and make them fit what the common culture teaches, to relativize them, you might say, so as to not offend anyone, and to be able to live as they want to live, and as our culture would teach them to live, but not as God would want. It is true, isn't it? Our culture today would say that abortion and war, same-sex marriage and euthanasia, they're all justifiable. And the Bible and the 2,000-year history of the church's teachings about these matters are not to be thought of as binding on us anymore. Euthanasia. We don't like to use that word, do we? But believe me, the elderly are being encouraged in many ways to die today rather than to live.